Hi everybody, and welcome back to another Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer.
Hi,
Hi,
David.
Alana.
Hi, all.
Good to see you, Alana.
Yes,
It's
good to see you.
great to get back with you again this week, because we have loads to speak about, as is always. And suffice to say to those who listen and those who watch this, that if you do enjoy the content, even just make sure you give us a subscribe and give us a follow, and thumbs up, likes, all the usual business to
Just to add
support.
to that, David. Our last broadcast got 10,000 over 10,000 viewers, but it did not translate, guys, into subscribes. And if you want to show support for us dissidents on the margins with a truth decades ahead of others, please subscribe.
Absolutely right. I mean, nowadays, Alana, you become a revolutionary if you just speak the truth. It's an amazing time we live in. But listen, to start off with, talking about truth tellers and people who have fearlessly spoken up, I know you're aware of this. I just wanted to bring this up on screen, and this is the tragic, sad death of Colin Flaherty. So he's apparently passed away with a battle with cancer. And as this article says, he was, Alana, we both know, one of those fearless warriors for truth, intrepid speaker of, if you like, his own hard truths. And it's very sad to see this.
David, he was a friend, he was a gentleman, well, a rough around the edges, charming old school journalist, and he was a one-man truth squad, to quote a friend who wrote to me early this morning. And his voice was heroic and unique in scrupulously documenting the thing we never hear about, the daily devastating and unrelenting reality of black and white crime in black and white. He did that, and he was a kind man and a friend. And
Yeah.
we'll miss his work and his input, but it will remain with us as his legacy.
Well, that's right. The good thing about truth is, even when those who speak it pass on, the truth that they spoke remains. Well, they haven't erased that from us yet anyway. So yeah, so very sad. And actually,
And a personal appreciation. So many people came to my book about South Africa through the generosity of Colin Flaherty.
Okay. So, and we are dedicating this episode of Hard Truth to Colin, because I think all of us small band of truth tellers, do have that solidarity and support for each other. So, and actually, gone too young. Actually, if you look, he wasn't that old, I don't consider. So,
No,
yeah,
baby boomer like us.
I know. Yeah, sad. So, okay. Let's move on to matters. Well, wokeism. There was an item. I know, Alana, it caught your eye. It caught my eye as well. And I think if we actually, yeah, we're going to bring it up. So let's just bring up the story that kind of triggered us both on screen here. And this was in Bloomberg, so we know it's the truth. Well, Alana, what do you say? So, why wokeism will rule the world? And I don't
Well,
think this isn't
this
even.
is interesting. You actually are light. You don't give yourself credit, David. You found this perversion of American libertarianism. An economist at George Mason University, no less, called Tyler Cohen. You have to understand the libertarian mindset about the market. There's nothing that the market produces that is not a net good. To the crasser libertarian, the light libertarian is what I call them. And in fact, maybe to shock our listeners and our viewers, I would not be surprised if this gentleman can justify trade in celebrity flatulence based on market forces. So to him, wokeism, you and I actually, if the boss can get up the video that we did on Douglas Murray,
Yeah.
we actually did mention and analyze the whole trend. Wokeism was strictly exported from America. And when we spoke about Douglas Murray, he was despairing in that city, in that most English of cities. He was walking around and seeing all the brutal atavistic imagery with chains and screaming faces. And he was just beside himself. But of course, being Douglas Murray, it was all a non sequitur. He ended this very emotional piece that he had written by saying, oh, it's all the media's fault. But no, this is an American export. It comes from our rarefied universities. It's anti-intellectual, and it's not English, it's not French, it's not German, it's not Dutch. So if the man was going to be useful at that time when we were saying the hard truth, he would have said, this is as we did, this is an American export. And so this gentleman, Tyler Cowen, arrived at that conclusion that wokeism is an American export, and he sees a lot of good in it. What do you think?
Well, if I can stop you there, because as always on our channel, Alana, we are consistently saying things well ahead of the time. And on the broadcast entitled The Murky Meandering Douglas Murray, for which we got a bit of criticism, by the way. Oh my God, how can you criticize Douglas Murray? Easy when he says these kind of things. And there was this little clip. We just play this one. It shows we're ahead of the bell curve. Play this, Jed, very quickly. It's only last for a few seconds.
What he wants to say is that he gets to his point in the final paragraph. That's why I say, as an editor, I would just put a red line through all of it. He says, what he wants to say is critical race exists, as a very large number of Americans have discovered, it exists. It's being exported to the world. And that's a strong point. He could really make as an Englishman, he could make a strong stand on that. And in fact, we've been over that one article where I wrote that Douglas Murray wanders, across London, and he sees these very atavistic, violent imagery of Black Lives Matter. And he says to himself, why does this belong here? And I completed the thought in my own article in this most English of cities. And why do we even listen to Black Lives Matter when this imagery, the slavery, it's all alien, it's American. So he has the chance to make this powerful point that as an Englishman, he can dissociate from it, but he can't even bring himself to that. And finally he says,
right. Okay. So there you go, Alana. You were prophetic then, and I think we still are. He had his own, and that's the problem with this whole wokeism. And the thing you say about Douglas Murray, the correct accusation you make against him, I can assure you, not all Brits are quite so happy about this export of what I see as a cancer from America. And we'll talk about a few examples often. But turns out that whilst Douglas Murray's not prepared to be very forthcoming, if we go to our friends in France, Alana, they are a bit more forthcoming. A couple of things here. France, La Belle France, rejects US-inspired wokeism on race and gender. And say what you will about the French, at least on this one here, Macron and the gang actually are being pretty robust, which is good to see, isn't it?
Well, I mean, if you look at France through not non-American lenses, you don't refract it through the uniquely American way of looking at all other Western democracies as extensions of America. This is not at all surprising. Macron is more old left. France is left, but it's old left. Yeah. It's nationalistic. It's tethered to its language, its culture, its imagery and history, and certainly it's not about to roll over for this radical American wokeism. And the other thing, of course, Macron absolutely slammed the idea that you would remove offending statues. So. Yeah. He's been consistent on this, and that's something else that I have pointed out in my own columns. And back to 2005, I had a piece, I think it was called Get with the Global Program Goal, dated November 18, 2005. And that was when people who are now moved have migrated more to the opinion of populism and Trump conservatism, you know, populism, nationalism, America first, make America great again and all that. But those people then, and I cite all these people, the Wall Street Journal, the Francis Fukuyama was the darling of the right. Another gentleman called, what's his name? Heavens. I think Frederick Kemp of the Wall Street. And of course, Jonah Goldberg was a fixture on Fox News. They were all filled with schadenfreude for the French who were experiencing this rioting, the kind of rioting we saw in 2020 by the Maghrebi population. Tens of thousands of cars trashed, cities trashed, on. And you'd think that, as I did in 2005, come out in sympathy for this great country, this once great country. The conservative establishment, then neoconservative, just said, well, their identity remains rooted in blood, soil, and ancient shared memory. They're not like us. And this was how gauche, you know, how disgusting. And they blamed the French for this eruption because they don't have official multiculturalism, which is when I praised them for not having that. They immigrants based on they don't even register, identity groups, do they?
Well, the thing about the French, and it was actually in that article we were just looking at, Macron does specifically state wokeism weakens the Republic. Hello, America. Have you considered this might apply to the American Republic as well? Because it sure as hell does. Wokeism destroys everything. But I just thought it was fascinating that the French, I think we've got another another Frenchman. I think we've got a Monsieur Barnier, who was I think I'm if we can bring if we can find this one.
Isn't he Quebecer?
I'm not sure of his origins. He was the guy that
Canadian. Oh, okay.
Michel Barnier. He led the EU delegation against the Brits in Brexit. He's a very, very effective negotiator, it must be said. But again, Alana, look, Barnier tears into cancel culture, wokeism, as he launches the fight on extreme left ideology. Isn't it remarkable that it's the likes of these old Europeans, if you like, that recognize the danger about this toxic ideology, which seems to have destroying America from within. And then you've got goons like this guy who's written the article thinking, oh, I've got a great idea. Let's export it around the world. No thanks.
Oh, the libertarian, the American libertarian. Well, he was very blasé. It's quintessential libertarian Jacobinism, you know. He even sort of used the expression, well, what did he say there? He said, a few innocents will fall by the way, you know.
Yeah,
the whole philosophy of omelets can't be made without breaking a few eggs. But he's a libertarian, defender of all people who are unwoke. But he thinks this is a net good because David, he believes, as he said in this article, this Cohen gentleman does, that American culture is healthy, democratizing, liberating influence. Well, as I said, I guess he would, one of the worst things we've exported is something that has displaced good music is the rap and hip hop culture, simply because, rap is not music. It's pure crap, right?
It's a cacophony of noise. Well, actually, Alana, I'm glad you brought in music. Brilliant. Thank you for raising that. Because associated with this, there's a story today. I've seen it for the past couple of days in the British press, but it concerns an artist who actually lives in over in Vancouver, but he is of British stock. And he happens to be my favorite singer, Elvis Costello. Now, his 1979 classic, Oliver's Army, has been cancelled. Why has it been cancelled? I'll tell you why. Because it references the N-word in a particular way, in a very acerbic, lyrically clever way. But even the writer, the singer, he can't sing his own song anymore. Why is that? Because certain words must not be spoken. And I just wanted to ask you, Alana. I believe every word should be spoken. There should be no boundaries. Say what you want, write what you want, defend it. But hey, this is the line in the song is, the lyric is, only takes one itchy fate trigger, one more widow, one less white N. And that was written when he visited Northern Ireland, and I was here in late 1978. So, and now,
he was referring to Irish people. He was
Exactly, Alana.
I know that pejorative for Irish, yes, because I'm married to an Irishman. Yes. So he was referring to, he was using a pejorative against the Irish.
Yeah, he was referencing his own grandfather who fought in the British Army but was of Irish descent. And all he was making an oblique reference was to family history, because his grandfather was called that pejorative. But it wasn't what the song was about. But it was in the song, as has been highlighted here. It was a derogatory term for Irish Catholics who at this point served in the army. Well, hey, guess what? In the army, rough people say rough things. That's the way it is. But I so resent the fact that lyrics like this are being erased, and not just, you know, this great Costello song. Shakespeare, you could name the canon of literature, Alana, and slowly but surely they're coming for it, the wokeism, because you and I
went over an episode where we wondered, will Othello and Shylock be banned, right? So yeah, I mean, these are thought crimes, and the woke left is making thought criminals out of speech heresy. And unfortunately, this would be a joke if we had a political opposition to speak of, but we don't. We don't.
Nobody is prepared to defend the right to think and to say things that other people, you see, I don't care if what I say hurts other people. I'm sorry, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. I don't set out to do it. I don't wish to do it. But we cannot be censoring ourselves lest someone else's feelings get hurt, especially when we're trying to be straightforward in what we're saying. Awful.
I mean, wokeism really is a form of oppression. It's anti-white oppression. It's very clear. To be woke is to be anti-white, and to be anti-white is to be woke, and it is a form of oppression that is also economic, because if you are not woke, you risk not only your social media account but your bank account. So this is very, very serious, and it's not just something like Tyler Cohen muses about and thinks is a neat export that will level out, market forces will sort it out. This is very destructive, especially since it began. People like us who know about corporations, a lot of libertarians live in think tanks. They don't know what it's like to get your livelihood from corporations. Our relatives and certainly my husband has been subject to wokeism for 2 decades, retraining camps and anti-whiteness and anti-Christianity. So this is more than just a nifty concept to bandy about in a Bloomberg column.
Well, exactly. And it has to be said, in terms of the wokeism, one of the areas which, again, I think I shared the link with you to do with Hollywood, if we can bring this up in a second, because Hollywood has been exporting lots of things for a long time. And I've got lots of stuff I could talk about Hollywood, because my biggest concern isn't to do with wokeism. There's other things happening in Hollywood, which we won't talk about at this point. But Hollywood, I read this article, Alana, basically saying that white men have been driven out of the studios, out of the writing booths, because diversity. And the result of that is, well, I haven't been to the movies in certainly 4 years. I can't imagine I can't conceive I'll ever be back not to see the sort of stuff Hollywood pumps out. But again, they're doing it globally. This is the exportation of sheer diversity hires who can't essentially string together a decent plot. Yeah, as it says here, white men who spent decades writing good scripts, you know, told to get out. What do you think?
Well, as soon as I see one of those very contrived scripts with a white woman and a black man or vice versa, I know someone is wagging a big finger at me, and it's inorganic, it's fake, it's phony. And when you watch film, you want to be transported, and you also want something believable. You don't want a subliminal political lecture. So no, I just switch off. I mean, but I've been switching off since women cops with silicone implants weighing 90 pounds were lifting 200 pound men in there and boxing them and cuffing them. I've been switching off ever since then. For me, Hollywood is used to you had Paul Williams with a magnificent music and great writing in the 80s and even in the 90s, but it's dead. And I think we're escaping. The market offers wonderful alternatives on Netflix and BritBox, and certainly there's some really good stuff out there for refugees like us from the when cretins wag that finger at you, it's just not very clever or funny or amusing or relaxing.
No, I've got to say, Alana, I watch movies from the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Oh, no.
I do. I love Western. I love American Westerns. I love those. But I think you mentioned in another one of your columns, we saw the death of the actor, I think who you liked, Sidney Poitier, who actually was in good movies.
His best was the British To Sir With Love.
Sir With Love, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Great movie. Yeah.
I would stop our broadcast and just have Lulu sing that song. It's so achingly touching and beautiful.
Yeah,
so, this is a wonderful script devoid of racial lessons at all. It was just about, and what a lesson now during COVID, when the young have become such victims of the fearful, malevolent old, the teachers, locking them up and locking them down and masking them and separating them from their buddies. Here was a teacher who, an engineer who couldn't get a job, and just then there were no unions to prevent you without the teacher certificate from entering the teaching. So you had real skills and probably could impart mathematics and hard sciences and that sort of thing. And he took on the tough East London children, the true, very tough kids who vowed to destroy every teacher that tried to tame them. And in the end, he just taught them things that we don't teach kids today. Simple things that are taught in a society based on ordered liberty, hierarchy, respect for me. You call me sir, just as you don't call her Babs, you call her by her name. Was it Pamela or what have you? You call others by names. You dress in a dignified manner. You address me in a dignified manner. We go on an excursion only when you've done your work. And even that is, it's not an excursion that's abandoned and, fun in the liberal sense is just so decadent and degenerate. It's a learning excursion. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you used a very good word, degenerate. I think we've somehow fallen down into, and it's accelerated remarkably in the last 5 years, down a degenerate rabbit hole. I think in the last article that we had up there, it talked about the fact that from 2015 with the hashtag Me Too, hashtag White Oscars So White. Remember those moments? And that, to me, that was the beginning of this tsunami, which has gone rattled right through Hollywood, and therefore made them produce. Well, they're producing.
David, it started with a female vote. You have to go.
Yeah.
Female franchise. You have to go way back to see the degeneracy of society.
Well, we've talked about this before as well. Well, and it's a point. Hashtag believe her. Why should I believe anyone without evidence? But there we go. The woke in it were the sort of the popular culture and the wokeism that Hollywood has pushed around the world. Absolutely toxic. And the only thing is, COVID kind of stopped it a wee bit. So they had their problems in the studios in Hollywood. But I don't think we'll be going back to the classic era, especially of all those white guys who wrote those really good scripts on real content and all those important things and integrity. Yeah. They've all gone.
Yeah, and there's a way of integrating in a more organic fashion, not in a kind of, you're raping the script with these, black romantic leading man, white romantic interest. Yeah. And I can understand, African Americans or British Africans who want to see more of themselves in the film. But I do think there's something universal in certain stories and in certain scripts.
Take James Bond. Take James Bond.
Absolutely. You cannot have him to be a transgender, lisping, limp-wristed.
Oh, no.
Women like me are not watching that.
No, and blokes don't want to go to see, as you say, some one of these peculiar characters playing, or indeed, instead of James Bond, Jane Bond.
And likewise, you want to see beautiful women. And yeah, I've noticed in television ads, the wokeism, there's a lot of ugly people doing ads.
There's a lot.
Selling the products. And predominantly, I see beautiful white women selling cosmetics. That's a thing of the past. Now it's a mosaic of pimply, ugly people selling creams that I won't, slather on.
But it's very true, actually. And again,
the rise of the ugly. I mean, it's sort of an equalizing, leveling, centrally planned leveling effect.
Yeah, but what sort of a message does that? What actually sort of a message does that really send?
I think it's anti-nature, because naturally we want to see beautiful people. I think women are particularly jealous of other women. Maybe there's something to do with that, and this is a feminized society, and maybe behind some of this normalizing fat, ugly, and all that, maybe there's a the green-eyed monster. There's a lot of jealousy, so that's the thought. When women control the scripts, maybe you want to see other women who are less attractive, less beautiful.
Don't body shame anyone. Don't body shame some 30-stone hippopotamus. Don't body shame them, because in their own way they're just as healthy as you and me. No, they're not. COVID, one of the essential comorbidities in making people vulnerable to the respiratory virus is obesity. I laugh at people who are like 25 stone and they're walking around saying, oh, I've had 16 jabs.
What's 25 stone in kilos or pounds?
It's a lot. I'm working in the old imperial measures, Alana. I have not migrated to this newfangled kilo business, but seriously though, I mean, it's the same thing, sending wrong messages, be it in art, be it in music, be it in popular culture, it's all the wrong messages that are being sent. And that's a hard truth. And that's
anti-nature. We want James Bond, we want to see romance, and most of us, 80% or 85% are heterosexual or normies. So if you're catering to 15% of society, you will have all these, you'll mix it up and have weird people having sex and so on. But most of us, 85% of humanity, wants to see something that's an extension of nature, right?
Yeah, except wokeism wants the 15% to dominate the 85%. That's your problem.
Well, that's where Tyler Cohen, his name is, from Bloomberg, has Hollywood will come short in the marketplace, because unless the young people are so well educated to be, enticed into watching these strange films, I know older people like us will not be watching it. The market for such a cultural product will be very, very limiting.
Yeah, and I'm not sure even the young people are that motivated, Alana. You know, but it was a remarkable, the one thing that does not need exported around the world is wokeism. So isn't, as you said,
democracy at the end of a bayonet, what else? War, and color revolutions. So we don't need to export wokeism. But the thing is, when you are empire, you can force.
You can.
You're very powerful, and you can force, almost by osmosis, you can force change on the wall, and you can see it. Why go to places? Why travel when everything's been flattened? The only thing about Tom Friedman's theory about the world is flat, whatever he wrote one of his monotonous books, is the fact that it has been flattened by American culture. And bringing it back as we wrap up, I know you want to wrap up, to the French people. I'm old enough to remember when they were debating, when I went to Paris in the 1980s, I think, the late 1980s, they were debating whether or not to allow Wimpy and McDonald's. They were furious that their culture of wine in the morning and,
Great culture, Alana. Give the French their due. And they did fight, but it shows you the power of wokeism and the whole American exportation of it through corporations. That if you go down the Champs-Élysées, go down to the Louvre, there's McDonald's there now. Now, I'm not sure.
You forgot Lafayette, where I bought a cheap knockoff of the classical black little dress. Do you remember Lafayette, the chain store?
Yes, I do. I just think it's interesting that there's some resistance to this, ironically, in the old world, if you like. But for sure, for someone to write an article saying what we need is more wokeism makes me doubt the sanity of such people that would write such trash.
Is American chauvinism or exceptionalism steroids? This is it, really.
Well, Alana, just to finish, but just pick up on that. Is it exceptionalism or is it chauvinism?
Well, that's an interesting one. You have to, just as we taper off. It's not exceptionalism. It's definitely a very bad thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's imperialism, and
cultural imperialism.
I think it does.
Chauvinism. I like the way the articles you sent me say the left in France. Well, the French are left. I think
the culture
is left, but old left, French left, not American left. And every single examination of this phenomenon of France standing up to American wokeism has been refracted through the lens of people writing about the American left, even conservatives saying the left in France. No, France is left, but it's fighting for French leftism.
Yes, which proves, and it's a good final point to finish on, that, if you like, that old left has merit and has value, and in some regards is less dangerous than some of the new right, because that's what we need to do. We're not going to be put in little boxes and said you are this or you're. No, we're not. We're free thinkers.
Exactly, David. And that old left was where our allies in the anti-war movement, the rightist anti-war movement, right?
Yes, indeed.
There isn't a new left that is anti-war. They're all anti-war.
And my final point, Alana, is I've now found allies when it comes to fighting back against COVID tyranny from that classical left as well, because they still exist around the world.
Look at Naomi Wolf. Who else? Naomi Wolf, Stella.
Naomi Wolf, great example.
Liberal.
Yeah. So maybe there's still these the alliances, new alliances.
John Pilcher, Australian, I believe.
Yeah. So we still have our allies across the spectrum. I think the thing that distinguishes us all is we're not afraid to speak hard truth. And on that wrap-up note, Alana, all that it does is remains is for me to thank you so much for being here. Thanks, everybody, for watching this. go down below, hit that subscribe button. Alana and I are going to be checking. So if you haven't subscribed, we're going to have words with you next week, right?
We'll have a strike.
You've been warned, you've been put on a warning.
So that's real action if you don't support us.
Yeah, so listen, thanks again, everybody, for watching, for listening. Give us the thumbs up, give us the subscribes, and Alana and I hope to be back with you next week, same time. So thanks, everybody. Catch up then. Bye.